Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn in your New Testaments to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46, in a message I'm entitling today, The Request. As I read through this passage, you're going to see several requests, pretty important, significant requests. These requests help us on this path that we are on, this race that we are running, called the race of faith. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Two requests. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up! On your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" There's another request Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." There's another request. "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Lord, this is another passage in the New Testament that I would have loved to have been there to see this incredible miracle of Jesus healing this blind man, this blind beggar. All his life, he didn't have much to live for. And he was paralyzed by his disability. And then one day Jesus comes along and he throws up his request, and Jesus comes back with his request, and before we know it, we have a miracle in the making. Lord, I wonder if there's some miracles waiting in this room today as we wait on you to come by. As we make our request to you and we listen to your request to us, I wonder if there's some miracles here this morning in the waiting. Because we've been too paralyzed for far too long by our own disability, our own shortcomings, our own blindness. But as we cry out to you, maybe, just maybe, today is another miracle in the waiting. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Before you begin to feel too sorry for poor blind Bartimaeus, as I do every time I read this passage, I mean, how can you not feel sorry for the guy? Downcast, lowly, beggar, blind, paralyzed. Before we start to feel too sorry for blind Bartimaeus, we need to realize we are all Bartimaeus. We are all blind beggars. Don't get me wrong, he was a real man who lived 2,000 years ago in a land called Palestine. He was a very real man with very real disabilities. And yet, Mark phrases this episode in a way to allegorize Bartimaeus to help us realize we are all blind Bartimaeus. We are all blind in our own ways. The scriptures give us many allegories regarding this. It talks about how we, before Jesus, walk in the darkness, how darkness blinds our very eyesight. Jesus talks about the blind leading the blind. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus is rebuking the church there in Laodicea, and he says, "Do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked? We are all blind. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul recognizes this universal blindness. That's why he cries out and he prays. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be opened. So before we get too pitiful on poor blind Bartimaeus, he is us. We are him. We are all blind. And that trips us up. Like I almost tripped this morning. Back in February, Renee and I went to downtown Eugene and we found a parking spot and we decided to have lunch at the Spaghetti Factory. And we were crossing the street and everything was going just fine. And I was looking forward to having some good old Spaghetti Factory and then maybe some dessert afterwards. And I was just so caught up in the moment that I did not see that there was a crack in the road and my boot caught it. And before I know it, boom, I fell flat on my face right in the middle intersection downtown Eugene. And it's true, as the saying goes, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But it was my ego that was damaged more than anything. And this poor lady across the street, of course, Renee was right there and tried to help me up. And this sweet lady saw me and she ran over. And I was so stunned by this fall that as I tried to get back up, I fell again a second time right in the middle of the intersection. Crazy. We are all blind. And that trips us up. We are all blind Bartimaeus. Plato, the Greek philosopher, wrote his famous book, The Republic, around 380 years before Christ. And in that book, he tells a short story called The Allegory of the Cave, as told by his mentor Socrates. And this is how the story goes. There were a group of people who were captured as prisoners when they were very, very young children. And they were confined in a cave. And they were chained to a bench in the cave. And they were so restrained, their hands, their feet, their necks, that they could not turn either way. They could only face the wall of the cave. And behind them was a fire, and behind them also were some puppeteers who would make different, you know, shapes and things like that. And so these poor prisoners confined in this cave, the only thing they could see were the shadows illuminating from the puppeteers from the fire behind them. And of course, Plato goes on and he talks about how this is our universal human existence. We are all blinded to reality. We are left really only to illusions and shadows. And he goes on and he explains that the way out of that is through knowledge and things like that. I want to say to you on this Pentecost Sunday that the fire of the Holy Spirit that can illuminate us today helps us truly see reality as it is, not just the shadows and illusions that we are all confined to in the cave before we come to Christ. But in a sense, Plato was right. We all live in a state of shadows and illusions. We are blind only to see shadows and illusions. If you were with us last Sunday during worship, we sang that amazing hymn, Amazing Grace. You remember? We sang that, and man, you guys sounded so good. Woo, you sounded so good. I remember sitting up here while you guys were singing Amazing Grace going, wow, they sound good. You sounded so good last Sunday as we sang Amazing Grace, and I'm not making this up, this truly happened, that all week long, I kept hearing your voice in my head as I was going through different things throughout the week. I kept hearing you sing Amazing Grace. Man, you guys sounded so good. Part of the reason why you sounded so good is because Amazing Grace is probably the most well-known Christian hymn throughout the world. And so even, you know, non-religious people are somewhat familiar with the words. And so whoever was in church with us last Sunday, as soon as we started singing that, wow, this room just filled with incredible voices singing Amazing Grace. I've actually talked to Tim about this in the past, and we probably need to revisit it. But I've toyed with the idea that if we really want to help people who normally don't go to church or non-religious people feel comfortable in our worship service, that maybe we should sing Amazing Grace every Sunday. In large part because it's universal and it never gets old. But the reality is, most of the songs that we sing really don't resonate with people who don't go to church. But if there is one song that does resonate with most everybody, it is that great hymn, Amazing Grace. What you may not know is the story behind that great hymn, Amazing Grace. I've got a quick video to give you a brief overview of the history and the story behind Amazing Grace.
He was a slave trader, a violent man, a man who cursed God so brutally that even hardened sailors were shocked. And yet, this same man would go on to write the most famous hymn in human history, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. This is the story of John Newton, a man whose life proves that no one is too far gone for God to rescue. It's a story of storms, chains, regret, and redemption. And if you've ever wondered whether grace could reach you, this story will answer that question once and for all. John Newton was born in 1725 in England. His mother was a deeply devoted Christian, but she died when John was just 7. His father was a strict sea captain, so at just 11 years old, John was taken out to sea. And that's where his rebellion began. He drank, he fought, he cursed, he mocked God openly. He once said that he sinned with a high hand and made it his mission to drag others into sin with him. He was flogged, thrown in chains, nearly killed in mutinies. He even became a slave himself for a short time after falling out with his crew. But the lowest part of his story was still to come. Eventually, John Newton joined the transatlantic slave trade, transporting human beings in horrific conditions across oceans. He described African slaves as cargo. He packed them into ships like animals. He watched them suffer and die, and for years he felt nothing. This is the part of the story many skip over, but it's essential, because this is what makes grace amazing. In 1748, while sailing back to England, Newton's ship was caught in a violent storm. The sea raged. The vessel was tearing apart. Death felt certain. And in the chaos, the blasphemer, the slave trader, the rebel, cried out to God, "Lord, have mercy." He survived. And though his conversion wasn't instant, it began that night. Something shifted. He would later call it the hour I first believed. After the storm, Newton began reading scripture. He slowly gave up gambling, drinking, and cursing. He even started praying and studying theology. But here's the hard truth. He kept working in the slave trade for years after that night. Why? Because change takes time. Conviction isn't always immediate, but God kept working on his heart. Eventually, Newton left the trade, renounced slavery completely, and began studying for ministry. In his 30s, he became a pastor, and for the next decades, he preached the gospel that had rescued him from himself. In 1779, John Newton, now a transformed man, sat down to write lyrics for a New Year's Day service. And what poured out wasn't poetry, it was a confession. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. He never imagined the song would leave the church walls, but it did. Today it's sung in churches, stadiums, funerals, prisons. It's been recorded over 7,000 times, and it's reached people in every corner of the earth. But Newton didn't just write hymns, he used his voice to fight the very system he once supported. He mentored William Wilberforce, the British politician who led the charge to abolish slavery in England. And in his final years, Newton published a powerful pamphlet called Thoughts Upon the Slave Trade, where he called himself a former wretch and begged the world to end slavery. His words struck a chord, and in 1807, the British slave trade was finally abolished. Just months later, John Newton died, at peace, forgiven, and free. John Newton's life wasn't perfect. It was messy, slow, full of contradictions. But that's what makes it beautiful. Because grace isn't for the already clean. It's for the wrecked, the stained, the slave traders, and the prodigals. He once said, "I am not the man I ought to be. I am not the man I wish to be. But by the grace of God, I am not the man I used to be." That's the gospel. So what can we learn from John Newton? No one is beyond redemption. God's grace changes everything, no matter how far you've fallen. You can't rewrite your past, but God can write a new future. You may not be writing hymns or standing before kings, but your story can still echo with amazing grace.
Sing it with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We are all Bartimaeus. We are all blind to the truth and to the reality of this existence until we encounter Jesus Christ. But we are also Bartimaeus in this sense. We are all Bartimaeus in the fact that the name Bartimaeus means son of honor or son of value. And so the Aramaic word bar means son. Timaeus comes from the Greek meaning honor or value. We are all Bartimaeus in the fact that God sees us as sons and daughters of honor and value. While people back then may have seen a disabled, lowly, begging, blind person, Jesus saw Bartimaeus as a man of value and honor and took time to encounter him and give him sight. Jesus sees you as a son and daughter of value and honor. This is how God sees us. And by His grace, He does not leave us blind or begging, but helps us see so that we too can get up, rejoice, and spend the rest of our days following Jesus. God will do this for you. So why do sometimes our prayers not get answered? Because we are not praying verse 51 of Mark chapter 10. Bartimaeus said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And unless our prayers are bathed with that desire to want to see Jesus in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our circumstances, they won't get answered. It is only when we say, "Jesus, help me to see. I am blind to my circumstances. I'm blind in my situation. Help me to see." And every single time, if that is the intent of our prayer, Jesus will help us to see. Because He views us as sons and daughters of honor and value. So when you go to pray, make sure every prayer is what Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, "Lord, help me to see." And He will answer that prayer so that we can see him more clearly in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our heartache, whatever it is you're going through, cry out to him as Bartimaeus did. Help me to see. And God is faithful. He views you as a son or daughter of value and honor. He will reach down. He will give you the grace to be able to see. And when you do, we have no other option but to get up, thank him, and follow him all the days of our lives. Sing it with me one more time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, maybe there's someone here today and we've been praying all the wrong prayers. We've been praying for this or for that, when in reality we need to be praying, Lord, help me to see you clearly in this situation, in this circumstance, with what I'm going through. Help me to see you. And Lord, I've got to believe that is the right prayer to be praying. And Lord, if there's someone here today and they're frustrated by their own blindness and their circumstances and their own shortcomings and their own sin and their own failure and their own inadequacy, because we are all Bartimaeus, if we just cry out to you, you will rescue us. You will save us. You will touch us and give us the eyes to see. Perhaps for the first time ever, when before all we've been seeing are shadows and illusions, now for the first time we can see reality and the truth of who you are and what it is you want to do in our lives. Maybe it is for the first time we can begin to see your amazing grace. And so help us, Lord. We want to see. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see you more clearly. And that is a prayer that you will answer. Touch every person who's here today. Give them your amazing grace. And may we do what Bartimaeus did and just faithfully follow you all the days of our life.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch.
I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.